Well, if you did not know, this week actually became the beginning and the season of Lent. And so Lent is particularly practiced by the Anglican and the Catholic and the Orthodox traditions. And so if you don't know, Lent is actually a 40-day period that precedes Easter. And the word Lent actually originally came from the Old English word that meant spring. And so Lent was really traditionally about the stirrings of new growth and about change and about the change that is required in order for that new growth to come forward and to actually happen. People who practice Lent often use that time as a time of year to correct their faults and their mistakes and their dependencies, just very much as in the days of awe in the Jewish tradition, looking at what needs to be changed, so that we can be open to a greater good. And so Lent is practiced often as a time of fasting. People give up some comfort and also adopt a spiritual practice or deepen a spiritual practice. And both of those things of giving something up and letting something go and adopting a new spiritual practice are really for the purpose of leading to self-examination and to personal change. So that in turn, that person is prepared for Easter and the time of renewal and rebirth and giving birth to something greater. And so Lent is a 40-day period. And so if you don't know that number 40 in the Bible, whenever they talk about the number 40, it is referring to a time of testing and a time of trial on a spiritual journey. And so the Israelites wandered the desert for 40 years before they reached the Promised Land. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights before the sun came out and dried up the earth. And Moses went and was on Mount Sinai for 40 days before he received the Ten Commandments. And Jesus spent 40 days in the desert where he retreated from the world and prayed and meditated, where the devil tempted him before he began his ministry. And so today, here we are in this 40 days of Lent. And so as metaphysicians, we can use the season for nonviolence, and we can use the season of Lent to fast from the things that keep us from living from our spirit. We can use this season of Lent to fast from the things that keep us from experiencing peace and from experiencing harmony. We can use Lent as a tool and a time to fast from the things that keep us from being peace and being harmony. We can use it as a tool to fast from the things that keep us from living our spirituality and from coming from our own inner Christ nature that is inherent to our beingness. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, talks about that Christ consciousness that we each possess, that is a part of our own spiritual makeup. And he says, Jesus was the great example given to us all to fully live our divine potential, our, quote, Christ consciousness. And one of the core concepts of the science of mind says, the mystic concept of the cosmic Christ is not that of a person, but a principle, a universal presence. The universal image of God present in all creation. Each human partakes of the Christ nature to the degree that that cosmic Christ is recognized and revealed through him or her. To that degree, he or she becomes the Christ. We each put on the Christ to the degree that we surrender our limited sense of life to the divine realization of wholeness and unity with good, with spirit, with God. And so we each have this Christ potential within us, and it is really, my interpretation, it is that place within us that knows that we are one with that divine presence, that knows that that divine presence is everywhere present in and through and around everything all of the time, and knows that we are one with all of it. And so we can use then this time of Lent to fast from the things that keep us from being aware of that ever-present Spirit. They keep us out of that awareness that Spirit is absolutely right where we are at every single moment, filling every single moment and filling every single thing. We can use it to fast from the things that keep us from being aware that that is the only presence and power. And we can also use this time of Lent, like training wheels allow you to ride a bicycle. We can use this time of Lent to feast on the things that enable us to live from our spirit to a greater degree. Feast on the things that allow us and enable us to live in that awareness of the presence of Spirit, and then to live from our spirit and live from our spirituality. Because I know that as awakened or awakening spiritual beings, we want to be able to live from our spirit. We want to be able to live our spirituality. And so while Lent is a religious holiday, even though we may not consider ourselves to be religious, we might consider ourselves to be spiritual, practicing this season of Lent still serves us and allows us to become more of our spiritual self in this world. So we can use Lent then as a tool to experience our spirituality and to walk this path in a greater way and experience our spirituality in a greater way. And so the Dalai Lama actually talks about the difference between religion and spirituality. He says, religion is concerned with faith in the claims of salvation, an aspect of which is acceptance of some form of metaphysical or supernatural reality. Connected with this are religious teachings or dogma, ritual and prayer, and so on. Spirituality is concerned with the qualities of the human spirit, such as love and compassion, patience and tolerance, forgiveness and contentment, a sense of responsibility, a sense of harmony, which brings happiness both to ourselves and to other people. Brings a sense of, these qualities have an implicit concern for others' well-being and can be developed to a high degree without recourse to any religious or metaphysical belief system. Religious faith demands spiritual practice. Spiritual practice involves acting out of others' concern for others' well-being and transforming ourselves so that we can become more readily disposed to do so. So we are practicing our spirituality. And so what we want to be living in a world of peace. We want to experience peace and harmony and well-being within ourselves. And we want people, all people on this entire planet, also to be able to experience that same peace and that same harmony and have that same sense of well-being. We want to be able to live with a sense of our own wholeness. And we want everybody else in this world to live with a sense of wholeness. We want to be able to live with our own sense of our own power, and we want that for all others. We want to live in a world that works for everyone, and we want to be able to change the things that aren't working in the world. Are you in that pool of people? Yeah. And so the Dalai Lama goes on to say, he makes a distinction between two types of suffering, those which have principally natural causes and those of human origin. It is the problem of human origin that we are responsible for, and because they are essentially ethical problems, they can be overcome. However, they cannot be overcome by external methods such as legal systems or rules to address every ethical dilemma, but only by inner discipline and ethical restraint. The source of establishing binding, non-dogmatic ethical principles is the observation that we all universally desire happiness and wish to avoid suffering. Thus, one evaluates the ethics of an act, one's deeds, thoughts, words, desires, and omissions as positive or negative by reviewing their impact on others, by reviewing our intent, the nature of the act itself, and our intention. And so that is our responsibility as people walking this spiritual path, awakening to our own spirituality, to observe and to pay attention to our motivations and our intentions and the nature of what it is that we are doing in the world. And so we can use Lent to look at those things. We can use Lent to see where we are contributing to our own suffering and where we are contributing to the suffering of other people. We can use Lent as a way to look at where and how we are creating a sense of separation in our own thinking and in our own feeling from that divine presence and from the other people on this planet. We can look at how our thoughts and our words and our actions are either creating good or creating something that is less than good. That's our responsibility in walking a spiritual path. And so I said to you that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights where he was tempted by the devil. And so the word devil or diablo actually means that which divides. That which divides. So it is that which separates you from living from your spirit. It's that which separates you from being the love that you are. It's that which separates you from your own peace. It's that which separates you in your thinking, whether it's fear or worry or judgment, from your own wholeness and from your own well-being. And so what separates you? What separates you from the love that you are? What separates you from your own peace? What separates you from that awareness that you live in this omnipresence of the infinite, infinite possibility, ever-present love, good without bounds? Is it doubt or anger or fear or your focus? What is it that keeps you separate? The devil for you. What in your thinking or your words or your actions removes you from living in the kingdom? From living in peace? What divides you or separates you from your own faith? And so the title of my talk today is Give It Up for Good. What must you give up for good in order to experience greater good in your life and greater good in yourself? You know, I know the problem. The problem for most of us is that we spend so much of our time focusing on the negative. We focus on what isn't working. We focus on what we don't like. So I have a question for you. Do you spend 51% or more of your thought energy and your feelings in thoughts of faith and trust and knowing that life is for you and knowing that God is right where you are and is the supportive power in every situation and that God is bigger than whatever the problem is? Do you spend 51% of your time or more there? Do you spend 40% of your time there? Do you spend 5% of your time there? And we wonder why it gets out of balance. We wonder why we get angry and depressed and full of doubt and fear and those kinds of things. We are bombarded by negativity, you might have noticed. We are bombarded by the negative media that wants to tell us all the most horrific things that happen in the world today. We're bombarded by that. It takes spiritual practice and spiritual focus and telling ourselves the truth in order to balance that out, in order to be able to live from our spirit. What happens is we get into fear when we listen to that bombardment of negativity all the time. We get into fear that someone is going to take our good from us. Someone is going to take our job, or someone is going to take our rights away, or someone or something is going to take our health, or someone's going to take our money, or someone's going to take our safety from us. And what happens then is we want to protect ourselves. And we put up walls, and we keep ourselves separate. We become afraid of other people and people that aren't like us or people that we don't know. We get afraid of what might happen in the economy, or what might happen to our health, or what might happen to whatever it is, fill in the blank. And then we focus on that negativity, and we complain, and we get angry, and we get fearful, and we get full of doubts and stuck in doubts. And you know what? The problem isn't that we visit those thoughts. The problem is that we stay there. We stay there. We forget to pull ourselves out of that with spiritual practice, with fasting from that negativity. And so in John 3:30, it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot see Spirit all around you. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot see the good or even call forward the good. Unless you see through spiritual eyes, you do not see that omnipresence of Spirit in every single thing. You can't see Spirit in you. You can't see Spirit in other people when you're focused on those horrible things of the world. And so we each have that Christ awareness inside of ourselves, that awareness that there is only one, that we live and move and have our beingness within that one. But that Christ awareness cannot rise up when we are holding it down with judgment and fear and anger and frustration and unforgiveness. It can't come forward. It can't come forward when we hold on to the belief that the world is the thing that has power over us. Ernest Holmes says, the Christ within us, places its hand in the outstretched hand of the universe and walks through life unafraid. That lives in all of us. But it must be nurtured, and it must be courted, and it must be given space to take up some space in our thinking and in our lives. We are being asked to remember that God is within us and around us, everywhere we are, all of the time. Your recognition of that power is your power. Your recognition that there is a law that responds to your consciousness, that responds to your thinking and to your focus and to your feelings, that is where your power lies, because it allows you to change things in your life. Your focus and your beliefs and your faith act as conduits for love and conduits for peace and kindness and generosity and equality and oneness of this human family. It acts as a conduit for those things to come through, or it doesn't act as a conduit for those things to flow through. And so in order to live from your own spirit, from that Christ nature within you, the God of your own being, what must you fast from? In order to live from the awareness that that divine presence is always right where you are, carrying you and sustaining you and buoying you, what must you feast on? What must you refrain from? What must you give up? And so in your bulletin, there's a white sheet, and it has some questions on it, and I invite you to take that out right now. And if you don't have one, or if you need a pen, would you raise your hand? Coming right up. And in the second row here, Colleen, needs pen and paper. Right here. All right, so I invite you just to turn within for a moment to that place of stillness within you. To turn within where that presence of your own soul is so palpable, your own spirit, the part of you that is an emanation of that divine presence, of the same fabric, of the same essence. That is the all-knowing wisdom of God that is innate to your own beingness. And so I ask you, in order to live from your own spirit, in order to live from the God of your own being, what must you fast from? To ask that wisdom, what must I fast from in order to be able to live from my spirit all of the time? What must I fast from? And when you have that answer, to go ahead and write it down. And when you're done, to go ahead and close your eyes just to return to that space within you. And so in order to live from the awareness of that divine presence, which is always right where you are, as the only power, to live from the awareness that it is guiding you, what must you refrain from? What must you give up? What must you let go of? In order to live from that awareness of the divine presence, within you and around you, what must you refrain from or give up or let go of? And to go ahead and close your eyes one more time. And listening to that all-knowing wisdom within you. To ask, in order to live from my spirit, from the divine within me, and from my own spiritual knowing, what must I feast on? What must I focus on? What must I do? In order to live from my spirit, my own divine presence or divinity, what must I feast on, focus on, what must I do? And if you can wrap up that last thought. And so you were given a bracelet today when you walked in. Does anybody not have a bracelet? And so that bracelet is actually for you to wear as a reminder for the 40 days of Lent, of which we're into by since Wednesday it started, so minus those days, to wear as a reminder of what you need to fast from, and as a reminder to fast from that thing. And so the idea is not just to wear the bracelet to remind you that you're going to be fasting from those things, but when you catch yourself actually doing them, because that's what will happen, you take the bracelet off and you put it on your other wrist. So you wear the bracelet as a reminder, this is what I am fasting from, as training wheels during this Lenten season to start a new practice and way of being. And when you catch yourself doing that exact thing, you change it and put it on your other wrist. And when you catch yourself again, you change it and put it back on your other wrist each time you catch yourself. And so my invitation to you is to use this Lenten season as a tool for yourself to become aware of the places in your life where you aren't aware of that infinite presence, to be aware of the things that you are doing that block you from being aware of that divine presence that is within you and around you, as a tool to become aware of the places and the situations where you are not living from your spirit all the time, or the things that cause you to not live from your spirit all the time. To use this time of Lent, these 40 days, to adopt a new spiritual practice, or to recommit to a spiritual practice, or to increase your spiritual practice so that in turn you might be living from your spirit to a greater degree, so that in turn you might be more aware that you're living your life in God and that God is always right where you are, and that life is always for you, so that you can remind yourself and remember those things as you're moving through your day. Use it as a time for spiritual practice that will support you in living from your spirit and living from the love that you are. So fast from those things that you listed on your list, and feast on the things that allow you to be aware of spirit and of the truth that life is for you, and that God is always bigger than whatever is going on in the world. Use it as a tool for those things that bring you enlightenment. Pray and meditate and use your affirmations and denials and be of service to humanity during this time of Lent. And as a result, you will be creating space within yourself for that Christ consciousness to be born at this time of spring and renewal and rebirth as we approach the season of Easter. And so blessings to every single one of you on this path of remembering who you are and of bringing that into this world in a way that blesses you and that blesses everybody that you come in contact with. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so right now we take our attention to the truth that yes, indeed, that one infinite presence and power and love and power for good that is without bounds is right where we are. For that presence is everywhere present in this entire universe, in and through and around everything, in its entirety, in its fullness, all of the love, all of the peace, all of the power, all of the good, all of the beauty, all of the magnificence, all of the support of that divine presence is right here. For the very nature of God is to express itself. The very nature of God is to pour itself forth into creation. And I recognize that that presence is creating all of the time. It is creating something new at every single moment, in every single instance, in every single situation. And as we open to that in faith, I'm not sure who's popping or what's popping. As we open to that in faith, we create an avenue for that to come forward. We create an avenue for the good of the universe to unfold itself. And so today we step forward in faith and in commitment to bringing spirit into this world, commitment to our own spiritual path and our own spiritual unfolding, recognizing that as we say yes, the divine has already said yes and is already pouring out a blessing into our lives and in us and through us and as us. And so how wonderful it is to be living in this awareness of the life of God and that it is our life. And so today I just give thanks for all of that. Thanks for the beauty and the magnificence and the love. And I release this prayer and I say, and so it is.